Good evening. Supreme Court counsel. I'm sorry. We're starting.
Good evening. It's December 21st, 2022. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Following the flag salute, we'll observe a moment of silence to honor our first responders, servicemen and women, and the people of Ukraine. Would you please rise for the flag salute?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first on the agenda are several sets of minutes. And the first set back again is from October 5th. You recall these were tabled several meetings ago, just so that people know the background of how these conversations go. On November 28th, I sent an email to the clerk describing in detail that the October 5th minutes did not follow the policy of the township, 4 minutes, asking her to redraft them. I offered a proposed amendment or alternatively requested that the minutes be a full transcript rather than paraphrasing. The clerk declined to redraft those minutes. She sent my proposed amendments to the full committee. Last meeting, they were brought to a vote. Tom and Bev, who had my email detailing my issues for more than a week, voted against amending them. Guy and I voted for it, so we deadlocked. Tonight, I'd like to discuss how these minutes do not follow policy and shine a light on the clear bias in the minutes drafted by the clerk to see if we can break the deadlock on these minutes.
Is this acceptable, what's going on for you now?
With regard to the minutes?
Yeah, it's about my performance, saying that I'm biased.
Yeah, can we contain the comments to the content of the minutes and refrain from directing them as to authorship and do that so that otherwise we'd have to, if we're going to address performance, we'd have to issue a rice notice and give the employee an opportunity to be enclosed or open.
Okay, I'll try to address the issues just from the words of the minutes then. Now, just so everyone knows, my reason for demanding that the minutes be, can I say, unbiased and accurate?
Or again, the parameter would be to discuss the content of the minutes.
Okay.
If there's going to be a discussion that moves from that to the performance of duties by the clerk,
okay,
that becomes a personnel matter. And as we've dealt with on many occasions over the last 5 years, that would be a two-step process where notice would be given,
okay,
a several-step process. The employee would have an opportunity to elect executive or open, and that can't happen tonight unless there's a waiver. I'm interpreting the request from the clerk that it's clearly not a waiver.
Okay. I'll do my best then to make this. I'll do my best to make this clear to the public then. So what I'm trying to do is make the minutes accurate. It's not about wordsmithing. It's about being accurate. And it's about restoring the trust and confidence of the public in its government. All I can directly influence is our township government. The people need to know and trust that they will receive government services fairly and impartially. There can be no fear that they will be discriminated because of their age, race, religion, sexuality, or for any reason, including their political views. This government cannot act differently toward residents who put up a Not Schmidtville sign versus those who put up a Reject Bev and Brian sign. The five of us, your elected officials, we're allowed to be politically biased in debates. In fact, that's what we're elected to do. So it's no surprise that Tom and Bev have tried all year to weaponize the minutes for political gain. I'm going to have to delete a comment about social media posts that endorsed attacking me by certain individuals.
Can we not reference it's clear at this point that we're talking about a small universe of people, so we need to just,
okay,
excise that type of comment, as opposed to, it's not sufficient to just not use the person's name.
Okay.
We need to, again, if we could focus the discussion, we have an obligation to make the minutes available And we can certainly address and need to address the content of the minutes and keep it within those parameters.
So let me see if I can discuss the policy of the minutes. People who have been following us for more than a year would recall last December 15th, 2021, the minutes were hotly debated of the November 17th, December 1st meeting. The debate was resolved by a motion by Mr. Lull, seconded by Mr. McKee, carried by unanimous favorable roll call vote, that the Township Committee tabled both sets of minutes to have the clerk relook at and bring them back into the policy of being just topics and points of discussion. Tom and Bev didn't let that go. 8 weeks later, at the February 16th meeting, the policy on minutes was again hotly debated, Tom and Bev manufacturing a false controversy that there was an effort to censor information from the public, ignoring the fact that the full recordings of the minutes are promptly posted on the website. Following an in-depth discussion on policy for the minutes that night, a motion was made and again unanimously approved by roll call vote, quote, the Township Committee authorized that the meeting minutes shall show time and place, members present, subjects considered, actions taken, and the vote of each member, and that all existing and future audio recordings of meeting files will not be purged. Immediately thereafter, in the same meeting, the political divide over minutes resumed. The November 17th and December 15th minutes were approved on a 3-2 vote. So you figure it out. I've been trying to figure this out all year long. We look at the minutes. So February 16th was when that policy was implemented unanimously by this committee. For most of this year, the minutes have been following that policy. For example, in the August 10th minutes from the Wood Glen Gym, almost an hour of public comments is described as, quote, many members of the public provided comments on the proposed cannabis facility and the business administrator matter, close quote. That's it. Almost an hour, that described it. In the August 17th minutes from the Wood Glen Gym, almost 2 hours of public comment similarly described, quote, the Township Committee received comments from the public related to the proposed cannabis facility, the business administrator matter, township security, and ash trees, close quote. Again, September 7th, the minutes describing more than 2 hours of public meetings were described in less than two lines of text. Now, on October 5th, where about an hour of public comment took place, more than a page and a half of paraphrasing statements are included in these minutes. That is my point, that they do not follow the policy of the committee. Let me go into one of the most pronouncedly inaccurate points in the public comment section. Let me start with the comment. It's, if you want to go back and check, it's at minute 52 of the recording. Public comment where the clerk's draft, the minutes in front of us, state, quote, Ms. Nicole Gallo denounced a political mailer that was sent out in the township and stated her support for Clerk Sandors, Mr. McKee, and Ms. Kohler. Ms. Gallo censured Mayor Schmidt and Mr. Wilson on actions they have taken, close quote. That last insidious phrase, actions they have taken, is the type of inaccuracy that shapes the lies and misinformation that are believed by the public. Listen to the recording. What Ms. Gallo, in fact, stated was she questioned the mailer, called it an alleged allegation, so double deniability, that Wilson and Schmidt were behind a campaign mailer. On the recording, Mr. Wilson stated unequivocally that the mailer was not from his campaign. That statement is not in the minutes. Nor the fact that Ms. Gallo called it an allegation. Instead, the minutes insinuate that, quote, actions they have taken resulted in censure. Again, listen to the recording to find the term censure. You're not going to find that term. Go back to the start of the draft where it's written, Ms. Gallo denounced. That's another very strong term. You're not going to find that word on the recording. What you're going to hear is Ms. Gallo saying she is embarrassed by the political mailer. I'm embarrassed by it, too. She doesn't say it's not true. She says she's embarrassed by it. I'm not sure what else she meant by that. But the claim is made first in her statement that she is acknowledging, I support Clerk Sandor's Mr. McKee and Ms. Kohler. The public knows her position. She goes on then to say, I am embarrassed by the mailer. Ms. Gallo has every right to be biased, and I commend her for recognizing it. But these minutes amp up the inaccuracies with charged language, missing context, and selective editing. So these minutes are fake. They're misleading. They're false, without basis in the comments underneath them. We can go comment by comment. There are several other examples of this. What I proposed, tell me if you think this is balanced or not, what I proposed was replacing the page and a half of paraphrasing comments with the following. Many comments were received from the public regarding the conduct of township meetings, cancellation of standing committee and commission meetings, noise ordinance, public disclosure during the current campaign, and the newsletter editor made comments following being advised of her rights as a township employee regarding public comments that were made about her position. I'm not advocating that incendiary language is included. I also, there's one other amendment, because if you may recall, after the motion to close public comment, there was further discussion about the public comment that the public letter that that was read. And so I would replace what is there with Ms. Kohler clarified with Attorney Lyons how she could respond to the newsletter comments, and Ms. Kohler provided comments. Those of you who are here remember Ms. Kohler said, how do I retaliate? That is not in the minutes. If we want to be accurate with the minutes and be verbatim, we would have Ms. Kohler saying, how do I retaliate? I'm proposing that we just say, how could she, she asked how she could respond to the newsletter comments. So those are the amendments that I proposed last meeting, that I propose again to the October 5th minutes. I'd ask if the committee has any comments on accepting those amendments, or would we like to go comment by comment through the various inaccuracies?
I'd like to save the public time. We should just vote on this. I'll make a motion that we approve your revised minutes.
Okay, so that motion is not getting a second. Let's go on. So I would propose that Ms. Mwangi's letter that she read to the township and the committee be included verbatim in the minutes. Certainly no one could have a problem with that. Why don't we take that as a specific motion to amend the minutes?
Which letter are you referring to?
If you remember when she came, this was the letter where she called out Committeewoman Kohler for...
At this time, is it acceptable to discuss?
We're not discussing her performance.
No, we're just discussing
her
attendance.
I don't know what we're discussing, so let me not presume...
But
if we're discussing the inclusion of what occurred here in the minutes, we can discuss that. We can't discuss, just to preemptively address it, we can't discuss anything relative that to that employee for having done so without triggering the Rice notice and requiring that to be heard at a later meeting.
So this was the meeting when Ms. Mwangi came to the committee to read out a letter demanding that Ms. Kohler cease and desist in disparaging her work publicly. That letter has been summarized as Ms. Mwangi made a statement about negative comments Ms. Kohler made about her at previous meetings with regard to her position as newsletter editor and requested that they cease. That's not inaccurate, but if the minutes are going to include extensive details in other cases, I think they should include her entire letter in this part of the minutes.
Isn't the whole purpose of minutes to summarize what went on at the meeting? I mean, if in one case you have a situation where, as Mike pointed out, there was an hour's worth of comments and there were two lines about it, and yet at the public session on October 5th it lasted an hour, it's a page and a half. It just seems a little odd to me.
That's why I started out by pointing out the policy that this committee unanimously approved for minutes, which is...
Was the policy directed towards public comment, though? Or was the policy about us here at the dais selectively using our statements carefully and managing them? And I know that some folks in the audience have spoke up about public comment and would like not to have the public comment minutes changed. Now, if there's certain language that is offensive, then maybe we just take that out of the sentence and adjust the minutes instead of wiping the minutes out, because this is public comment that you're talking about now. I'm not talking about us up here.
It's reporting of the public comments.
Correct.
The word censure was never used. I've listened to the text.
That's what I'm saying.
The word denounce was never used.
Take that word out.
But let's, the bigger picture is, and I read it verbatim, that's why I have it here. The policy approved by this committee, and I know you don't believe that committee rules apply to everyone, but the committee majority in this case, unanimous favorable roll call vote, the committee authorized that the meeting minutes, that includes public comment, that includes everything under the title of minutes down to the signature.
On February 16th, motion by Mayor Schmidt, second by Mark Law, carried by unanimous and favorable roll call vote.
Right.
The meeting shall show time, place, members present.